All right, we are here for the Strength and Philosophy podcast number 10.
Double digits, we made it.
And we actually have some sponsors now. This is really legitimate. Starbucks is not one of them. They don't give a shit. We have to thank our good people at Athlete Performance Solutions. You might know them from such wonderful events as anything Nike weightlifting related. They sponsor all the USAW events. And then our man Austin Cahoy from Killcliff has decided to step up the sponsorship games. And I actually talked to him, and he is competing
in the games,
the CrossFit games. He is on, yes, and I only, when I communicate with him, I only refer to him as Team Viking because they have that other motherfucker that has like the real long beard. And they're like, they're CrossFit dudes that look like they might want to kill people. And I'm cool with that. Like, so they're my favorite team.
Like motorcycle gang want to kill people?
Absolutely.
Like roll up and hit you with a monkey wrench?
Hey, when you're doing dirt, you're doing dirt. So thank you to Killcliff and Nike Weightlifting for seeing the hopefully bright future of the Strength and Philosophy podcast.
There's a twinkle at
if glittering. If nothing else, we are consistent, so it'll keep going.
This is number 10, Dan.
Whew. In like 5 weeks. Today we are bringing you nutrition advice from a fat guy. And I think this is one that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Dan's not going to claim me fat. I'm just saying I'm bulking 10 weeks out from my first all natty bodybuilding. I'm just kidding.
Yoke.
Yeah, so basically the inspiration for this cast is this. We have a registered dietitian, Carla Ray. You've heard me mention her before, who works with everybody that's on our staff and on our competitive weightlifting team. And she definitely has things nailed down, and I don't really infringe on her services whatsoever.
She's a good fact checker, where it's like, hey, Carla, is this good?
Sure. But I personally wanted to get a little more information, so I searched around and I ended up getting the Precision Nutrition certification. And the reason that I liked their approach more than anything was, yeah, they definitely deal with the X's and O's of quality nutrition, nutrition programming and planning, but they really, right when you sign up for the course, they give you a list of extracurricular reading, we'll call it. And I just took every book that was on that list and bought it. Because that's what I do.
Right. And I mean, they've been around for what? Like
a long time.
Like we've been following them for, what, 10 years
at least. So John Berardi, although I do believe he's Canadian. We love Americans.
But,
he is. He's good program, great course. It's very good, especially for the cost. Like it really wasn't that much. But they go into a ton of change psychology. And I think that that was a big draw to me because as strength and conditioning coaches, we're always trying to look at the big picture, right? So whether we're working with athletes or people that just want to drop body fat, or fitness enthusiasts, competitive weightlifters, whatever, nutrition plays a key role in any pursuit, okay? And we had a meeting last night with our top weightlifters here at the gym, and I talked to them about their nutritional consistency before they worry about fixing anything else. Okay, so we're going to kind of talk a little bit through the change psychology, what's hot right now in the industry, and kind of some pitfalls or things that you should just be a little bit more informed or a little bit of an educated consumer. There is always going to be a couple things when we talk about nutrition and the health and fitness industry in general. People are always going to have a piece of anecdotal evidence that says you should do this, you should do that. Like and some of it's very legit. Like there has been times when bro science was ahead of actual science, right? Because bro science doesn't have to go through a review board and peer review, critical analysis, any sort of fucking liability waiver. Like they can just take,
quick. You just tell a
bunch of drugs, bunch of protein, see what happens, right?
You just tell the other bros in the locker room.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you're just a professor.
And some of it has been 100% accurate and 100% legitimate. And there's always going to be white page evidence to support, there's always a research study to support some piece of nutritional information or to combat some piece of nutritional information. And a lot of times, to be honest, it just depends on whose agenda is funding the research.
Yeah.
And I give this example. I worked at a sports performance facility where a company came in and they wanted our facility to research the sportswear that maybe has copper in it. Okay, and they wanted to find out if this
Tommy Copper flow.
I'm not naming any names. And actually, it was before Tommy Copper.
Really?
It was a bigger company.
Before Brett Favre was all about it.
Correct. Yeah. After the Jen Sturgis,
right?
Dick pics. And I'm a Bears fan, by the way. But anyway, basically the deal was this. They didn't tell us, like, you got to skew your research to show that this shit works. We were getting the money no matter what. But what they did say is if you have findings that show there are not significant changes in performance with copper wearing apparel, which we all know there's not, you cannot publish the data for 4 years. Okay, so basically what they're going to say is, we're going to give you this money. Hopefully you find a little sliver of evidence that supports this through some variable you didn't control for. Right. And we're going to publicly put that white page out there as part of our promotional material. If you don't, we're going to sell the shit out of this product for 4 years.
Right.
Until it's, right? And that's, you know, exactly what happened.
The old Brady sleep pajamas.
Yeah.
Type of style.
100%. So that was my, that was one of my real life moments of how skewed data and research can be. So let's talk first about one of the most popular trends in nutrition right now, and that is if it fits your macros. And what
social media nightmare.
Absolutely. So what this has done is it has essentially provided a zero barrier to entry for anybody who wants to give nutritional advice. Okay. And again, not all people that are giving this advice are bad. Not all of them are good. But what it has created is a scenario where you got ripped, hot, CrossFit, stay-at-home mom chick, or
super jacked bro.
Or super jacked up bro.
Thinnest, like, stringer tank you could think of.
You get it. And what it's done is it's given them instant credibility as a nutritional coach. And anybody in this viewing audience right now could Google how to calculate your macros. And it's very, very simple. It just takes your daily caloric need, gives you percentage categories for carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. And it says eat that. And the goal is probably to eat less total calories to lose weight. And we know that that's the common theme.
Which I think is that's like basics. That's like one thing we know, by the way. Let's just go ahead and stop there.
All diets, like, work when you eat less.
Right. Like, well, just basic science, right? Like, before you even go to, like, the asshole level of, like, should I eat this many carbs or that much protein or whatever? Like, if you want to lose weight or if you want to gain weight, you have to be in a deficit or a surplus.
For sure.
If you want to maintain, you have to be neutral. Right, and there's going to be, like, there's other things that matter, but that's basic fundamental science.
Absolutely. So the problem that you get into when we have this, like, just looking at things on the macro level, is it completely negates or doesn't take anything into consideration that happens on the micro level. Okay, so with a macro-based diet, basically you're going to say, if it fits my macro schedule for the day, I can eat it. So, for example, I need 100 grams of carbohydrates. Well, I can get that 100 gram of carbohydrates from an apple or a banana, or I can get that 100 grams of carbohydrates from Doritos. Now, it doesn't take a rocket science degree from Purdue.
Right. That's where you would get one.
Just to greatest school ever. To understand that the nutrient density between those two foods, or the quality of nutrient in those two foods, is drastically different. And the macro approach completely ignores everything that goes on the micro level. And if you ignore everything that goes on the micro level, you're essentially saying, I don't care about how these things affect my insulin, my hormones, my vitamin D,
digestion,
my inflammation state, right, like all of these things that are huge, huge things to consider. All right. So to me, like the macro programming of nutrition is great for somebody that they're going from no nutritional knowledge whatsoever to let's get them something. But it exceeds its functionality at a certain point, right? At a certain point, we would all agree you're probably going to be better off if you consistently consume your carbohydrate sources from, vegetables and fruits versus Sour Patch Kids and Doritos.
Right. Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew, exactly. I mean, all those things, all of those foods mentioned have carbohydrates. The nutrient density in all of those foods is very, very different, okay? And to take it a step further, even on the macro level, let's think about this. Suppose that you're going to have 50 grams of protein before you go to bed at night, okay? And I'm going to have 50 grams of whey isolate protein that I bought from
GNC,
whatever, Canadian, the place.
Right.
Nah, they don't sponsor us. Fuck them. Or I'm going to have 50 grams of casein protein also purchased from GNC. Fuck them. And in those scenarios, the bioavailability, let's just assume they're of equal quality, okay? The bioavailability, which is a fancy term for what your body can deal with, is significantly greater in whey protein than casein protein, okay? And this is like widely accepted. Casein is a slower digesting protein. That's why people will suggest you eat it at night, blah, 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 blah. When you're sleeping, you're not hungry. Anyway, we'll save that sidebar for later. So if I ingest 50 grams of whey, let's say that my body can adequately process 45 grams of that whey because it has a high bioavailability. Whereas the low bioavailability of casein may only allow me to digest, process, and utilize the micronutrient content of 20 grams of casein. So which is a better source for me? All right, well, if I'm trying to gain muscle mass, get some nutrients, some things like that.
Probably gonna want that whey.
Exactly. Or, I mean, here's like a wild thing. What if I had 50 grams of grass-fed organic steak, right? Now that thing's packed and loaded.
Beef.
That thing's packed and loaded with a lot more nutrients and other micro elements than just whey or casein, okay? Now, I'm not a big person that's like, oh, you're gonna be nutrient deficient in this or that. I don't necessarily believe that because that's really reserved for sick, poor, like extreme cases, right?
People that have an issue.
Yeah, exactly. Like most even low middle income people get adequate amounts of most nutrients. They just do. So when you hire the macros coach, it's probably good that the macros person just gets you interested in understanding and tracking your nutrition, but paying somebody, maybe $100 an hour beyond that, or I don't even know what the going rate is these days, beyond that might be less, there could be better uses of your $100, buy $100 worth of steak.
Well, I mean, so they get you a plan, right? So don't worry, no one saw you, no one on the podcast.
I just poured this delicious Kill Cliff down my shirt. Anyway.
I'm going to say you couldn't resist and you just wanted to
it was so good.
Bathe in it, right? So there, bathing in Kill Cliff.
All right, back on track.
So anyway, back on track. So I'm going to get you a plan, which is great. And if you have no plan, and if you're just out there just eating whatever, and you don't fuel yourself for your workout, then the macronutrient plan is going to be better than what you had, which is nothing. And for a lot of people, it gets them to think about food, and it gets them to think about how they interact with food and their relationship with food. So it does take a good step in that direction if you don't have it, where you're thinking, okay, I need to have my 6 meals a day. I was only eating 2, right? And my performance gets better. that's kind of that like when you kind of step back and you're just like, well, no shit.
Yeah, right? it's very macro, it's just, like very big picture.
Like, it's just like very big picture. So it does get you to a point, and like we might call this like your nutritional journey, where you go from nothing to something.
Correct.
And it definitely does help you take a step in the positive direction. And eventually, as you become more educated, it's probably gonna stall out somewhere, and that's when you're gonna need a positive change. Let's just go ahead and kind of reference that as a positive change, not just a change.
Sure.
We talked about program hoppers last time.
Sure.
We're gonna need a positive change, so we'll dive into that a little more. Like I'm sure.
Yeah. So if you get to that point where you've mastered the basics of understanding what a carbohydrate, a fat, and a protein are, and you've lost some weight or you've recomped, maybe now the goals have shifted, okay? And so this is where it's like important that you're truly working with a professional and somebody that's adept and adequate in coaching. Like, this is why I recommend that all strength conditioning coaches have a reasonable grasp of nutrition, because just like if somebody fell off the wagon weightlifting and disappeared, like we would try to just gradually get them back on track and not have them see things as so binary, right? So as a nutritional coach, you're gonna, like when people go and they eat birthday cake or they have a party, like we have to get them out of this thought process of things are binary, right? Good or bad, okay? So you can easily, if you know what you're doing, get them on track and coach them into a better long-term consistency. There's that word again. Progress towards the future, right? So you don't look at foods as good or bad, right? And you don't look at people's behaviors as good or bad. You just try to get them to be more consistent to what you do. And a professional is going to keep you from getting to a point where you're experiencing disordered eating, right? Not an eating disorder, disordered eating, where it just totally is convoluted. It, for lack of a better term, you got a mind fuck on what food is, right? And food is one of those things that's sold to you all the time. Like, there's marketeers that are just trying to sell you the Lay's potato chips, right? Was like, I bet you can't eat just one,
right?
Right. Well, first of all, when you eat it, it's salty and it's delicious, and you want more.
And you want more of that.
Right, exactly. So there's just all kinds of things out there that we have to understand as a professional that we're working with that is much greater than just a carbohydrate, fat, and a protein breakdown, okay? And I'll also give this, we talked about how there's always anecdotal evidence and this and that, and there's always bro science, mm-hmm. but when I was a young man, oh God, this literally, I'm old, 20 years ago. Yeah. I had the Modern Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding, which was...
It's still in there,
actually. I keep it in the office. I'll never get rid of it because I think it's that important. Not that the information in it's great. It was just my start, right? And so this was, for those of you not familiar with, this was the Arnold Schwarzenegger encyclopedia thick book referencing everything to gaining muscle mass and the exercises to go along with it and nutrition. Okay. And in the, my memory has faded over the years, but my guess is it was, I repeat myself all the time. I want to say the beginning of the book or the middle of the book, it hops right into this categorization of your body. Like, you look at your body and is it built like a stick? Is it built like a square? Is it built like a pear, right? And it's like giving you this idea of what your body type. And those were broken down into the mesomorph, the endomorph, and ectomorph, okay?
So would I be a stick?
You're a stick. All right. Then you would be the ectomorph.
You know, I'm just going
to
live with that.
So we have to ask ourselves that those are three distinct body types, okay? And on the micro level, we know that because of where fat's stored, and there's been like tons of research and stuff showing this, that the different body types have prevalence for different sensitivities to certain hormones, insulin resistance, things like this, cortisol levels, like all of it, all right? And to some degree, the poorer your diet, the more those can be magnified, okay? So we're talking about endomorphs are your people that have lots of belly fat. Your ectomorphs are going to be your naturally skin, you're naturally skinny, they do have skin, people. And your mesomorphs are going to be like your short, stocky, fat distribution is more even throughout the body.
Ball of muscle.
Or ball of fat, right?
Muscle hamsters.
Correct. So, but their body proportions are, it'll be more even. Muscle hamsters. So with that, then we ask ourselves, what influence would your genetic predisposition have to nutrition? Well, probably some. Okay, and lo and behold, I'm at the end of my precision nutrition course, and those terms, endo, ecto, and mesomorph, pop up again. Okay, in a much more heavily peer-reviewed, critical, scientific-based organization.
And that's something that's probably faded in and out of popularity, right? Like, it's faded in and out of, do we believe that's a thing or not?
Sure.
Because I remember I went through a time where I first heard about it from a bro. And he was like, you're going to have these type of clients and you're going to classify them into these categories. But then, somebody came along and they're like, well, that's total trash. That's not science at all. And now we come around again where maybe it's not so crazy.
So as science and data have evolved or been more rigorous, we understand that there's a hormone profile that plays an effect in those body types. Okay. And we know that nutrition and exercise affects those hormones. Right. And so the point that I'm getting at here is if you have a quote unquote macros coach, so your person that just writes your macros, and every single person that emails them and says, hey, you're ripped, you're sexy, I want to be you, give me a macro breakdown, and they give you, we're going to do 60% fats, 30%, these aren't real numbers, 30% carbs and 20% that's 110%. But my point is they give you this percentage breakdown, and then they give it to every single person that emails them, okay? So there's no indication of differences in the person. Again, this is a very macro level of looking at things, large. The word means big. Okay, and so it's just a very big, large view. Okay, so we're just shotgunning information to get people a start. Whereas a truly trained professional is gonna start with a macro-ish approach, but they're gonna take a little bit deeper look. Okay, and they're gonna see, belly fatty. When they speak to me, that's what they say. Belly fatty.
This is the meal. All right,
you're going to eat more fats and more proteins and less carbohydrates because you're insulin sensitive. When your body gets carbs, it just goes like bonkers. You become an inflated fat ass. Okay, whatever.
Right.
And so they may still give you a macro breakdown, but it's going to be skewed.
Right.
It's going to be unique. It's going to be individualish to you, and that's going to be the first step instead of giving you that blanket statement. All right, so now you have a little more to gauge your process off.
Right. Then all right. The opposite with the ectomorph, right? A little more carbs.
Exactly.
You're like, hey, big bird, you need to you need to thicken up a little
bit. Eat these waffles.
Right. Eat these waffles. Lego, my ego.
Exactly. So you start looking at those things, and that's where a true professional is there to help you. And this raises the question of, who is qualified to give nutritional information? Okay, we can all almost agree that when we're talking about diseased or hospital populations, only a registered dietitian should mess with those people. But that's not the people we're talking about here.
No.
We're talking about people that get on Instagram and they want to be healthier and they want to be more fit. How the fuck are they supposed to sift through the Instagrams and pick a qualified nutrition coach to help them reach your goal? Okay, and then even worse is if you pick a quote-unquote professional and they give you macro advice and it doesn't go well. Okay, or, here's the big or, it goes great. They give you a quote-unquote cutting phase and they just slash the shit out of your calories and you lose a bunch of weight. Mm-hmm. And then you have your event or whatever. Right. And they do nothing to help you deal with what after.
And then it goes right back on.
Oh, we're just going to reverse diet back up.
Or you're just totally messed up after that from there on out.
Exactly.
Then you got to go see that hardcore professional that's going to they might give you blood tests, they might do this, blah, 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 right?
Right.
So that's,
So there's been tons of people that have had a lot of success, especially with the macros programming when it's just let's slash some calories. Well, that works. You could eat paleo and slash calories. You could do the Atkins diet and slash calories.
You could eat paleo and not slash calories and gain a bunch of weight.
Exactly. You could eat paleo and get fat as shit.
That's a possibility. I've seen it. I've seen it.
It happens all the time.
So, you know, like, from our perspective, like, we're, you know, like, I see myself qualified to give very, very basic nutritional advice. Probably the most common one, I would say, usually when somebody looks like they're going to pass out, it's like, did you eat food today? Did you drink water?
Right.
These are usually the questions that I get. And they'll be like, no, I haven't had anything since 11. Well, it's 6 o'clock.
Right.
You're going to need...
Your carbs are low.
Right, yeah. You know, like, this is not crazy stuff. This is very, very basic. But I think that, like, this was probably 4 or 5 years ago now that the basic, most common certifications for a strength and conditioning professional, like the CSCS, NASM, maybe like ACSM, probably those certifications, there's maybe a combined 10 to 12 pages on nutritional information.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
In those certifying information, and that's not speaking to any, like, CrossFit certification. I don't know what they have because I don't have any of those. I don't know what other, like, fitness sort of certifications they have.
Well,
but
good news is, on this podcast, there is one CrossFit level one certified coach.
Right. That would be you.
Yeah, and, you know, fitness. Meats, nuts, berries, lean foods. Right. They give basic advice.
Right.
And that stuff, it's not all bad, but if you're sitting there and you're like, well, okay, Dan, does this micro shit really matter? Like, does the little stuff really matter? Does your hormone profile matter? If your hormone profile doesn't matter, why the hell would people be taking performance enhancement drugs that elevate the micro?
Segue.
And that's next week's podcast is on peds. But and that's the whole point, is like, you people would go to a performance enhancing drug before they dialed in their nutrition to its fullest, right? Mm. So maybe instead of taking a performance enhancing drug, you should eat 6 to 7 meals a day, work with a nutritionist, and optimize your performance that way first.
You know, like, good thing you brought that up. So we have two clients, I won't name names because I want to keep the information private, that were having issues either getting an adequate amount of calories foods that would increase their hormone profile in a positive direction. And they had issues with either losing weight or gaining weight. And we sent them to Carla, a registered dietitian, and she evaluated their diet and she came back and said, I believe, you know, from my formal evaluation, that these people are having a lower hormone profile or like a lack of calories or whatever, and they weren't, and they're not able to perform to their fullest. And it's been, I want to say, 6 to 8 weeks since that process started, and both of them are performing extremely well. One that is now losing weight and probably has a better hormone profile, feels better, quote unquote.
For sure.
Who's actually diagnosed low T, which is not good, right?
And doesn't.
Like, just simple things of fixing your diet is going to cause you to, jump your performance up. And they had a macro-based program before.
Right. I mean, that's real life, real example type stuff right there. And it's so simple when you say it out loud, right? But for whatever reason, like, the Instagram is like now the dark net, right? Like, you just, it's like you get lost in that thing and
you don't feel bad about yourself.
You don't have any idea who or what a professional is, like, and who's giving you that advice, right? Like, anybody can give you nutritional advice to help you lose weight. But can they help you maintain that lifestyle for a long time? And here's the other thing too. So there's basically like three tiers of nutritional advice. Okay, there's this first tier, and that is pretty much where 90% of the population needs to be. Okay, and that is, let's live a normal, healthy lifestyle. And let's not have heart disease, diabetes, all the negative shit that comes with a diet that's heavy in saturated fats, sugars, refined carbohydrates,
right.
All that.
Then stuff, blah, blah, blah.
There's like level two, or for somebody that maybe has a need to eat for performance. Okay, so I'm an athlete. I want to fuel my training sessions. I want to optimize my performance and be able to compete at the at a level that's highest for me. And then there's level three, which has your weight class athletes or your physique athletes have to be at an extremely low body fat percentage or this, that, and the other. And in general, there should be like a walkthrough of those three phases. And level two and level three are not designed to be infinite, because those are, it's stressful. It takes a lot of effort and attention to eat for performance and to eat to be in a body weight sport, right?
Right.
Ask anybody that's ever dieted for a bodybuilding competition, prepared for weightlifting meet. They go like 12 to 16 weeks of their meet prep cycle. It's mentally fatiguing and exhausting, and it's really not fucking fun, right? And if you live with those people, like suppose you're a man that lives with a woman that does that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that must be that. That like sounds like it could be bad.
When people are like, "Oh, I don't know if there's such a thing as God." Well, if there was, this is what hell would be like, right? Living with a woman that is cutting for a competition.
On edge, I believe is what they would call that.
Yeah, yeah, right. Welcome to marriage. But anyway, so there's these three levels, and most people don't need to spend year-round time in that level two, level three.
Well, like, I don't think you can, right?
So it's unsustainable.
Meat, like, I mean, you can't, and, right. Like, you see those mental fatigue, and, like, neither should they, right? They should have some meets, for example.
Correct.
Where they go out there, and they just compete at whatever the hell body weight they're at.
And you got to let them refresh, and right. You got to let them recharge, yeah. And you got to let them fuel back up. Yeah. But there's a caveat to that. You have to do it in a way that is healthy for them,
right.
And in a way that keeps them within the lines, so that if they have to do that again, let's say they have to be in their weight class again for another meet in 6 months, they don't go so far the other way that it's three times as miserable to get back.
And it's also going to be harder.
Yeah.
And you talk about hormone profile.
Correct.
About all these things that happen. We know that people's weight yo-yoing is not good for them.
No.
And it's even harder when you're trying to not only maintain body weight and then maximize performance.
Correct. So you'll see a lot of the macro approaches, they skip this real level one approach to nutrition and training. And to be honest, like coming to grips with myself, that's why I'm fat right now. Right, like I was always eating and training for weight class events or to be as big and strong as possible, and never really just dialed in that level one, because I basically up through high school, I played football. I was always just trying to be as big as possible. There's nothing I wouldn't consume. I was always food. Right. Then after that, I moved to strength sports, and it was food. And then I went into like a I'll say a bodybuilding phase, but never anywhere near the discipline to step on stage where I would just get my body would yo-yo, because I'd be like, I want to see my abs, and then I'd starve myself, and I'd be like, time to bulk up, and I'd get fat, right?
You were stuck in like bro purgatory.
But I actually, like right now, I feel like I learned a lot from it, and now I'm like reflecting on this, like, oh, this is why this fat guy should be giving advice. So, but you have to master that level one and really understand that basic healthy lifestyle, healthy relationship with food before you go to two and three. So a lot of the Insta macro coaches are really operating in level two and level three, right? And the overwhelming majority of the macro coaches out there are to lose weight, right? And of all the things to do, that is the easiest thing to do, because at the end of the day, compliance with reduction of calories will have you lose weight. Plain and simple. The body fat will go down.
There's a scale there. Less in, right. More out. Down.
I was watching a documentary on the Holocaust. All those people were skinny. They weren't getting any calories.
That's heavy.
Right? But their nutrition level, not high. Skinny, not high. Okay? So you get the idea.
Dark
like
example, but that one's going to hit home.
There's only one way I work.
That one's going to hit home.
On the fringes. Back to my point here.
Okay.
There has to be like a progression from one to two to three.
Correct.
Right? And going from your average competitive athlete, just going from level one to level two might be enough. All right? Level three is going to be for the people that are like, have a really strong perspective on their sport and have a really strong desire to compete at an elite level. And it's not the overwhelming majority of the population. The overwhelming majority of the population wants to look good naked, they want to train hard, and they want to get the fuck out of the gym. Right? Yeah. That's the overwhelming majority of the population.
People
and they want to go on dates, they want to watch Netflix, they want to read, they want to have a successful career. Okay. Do you know how hard it is to have a successful career when you're operating on 20 to 60 grams of carbohydrates a day? Good luck with that creative endeavor.
Right.
So right?
You're not going to think very well.
You're not going to and you're going to be a bitch or dick, I guess, sometimes, you know, just being that cranky, right? Yeah. So you're not going to get career advancement with everybody hating your guts. You're not Steve Jobs. Right? Right?
He's out there somewhere. He's in here somewhere.
He's in these Apple products right now, controlling my brain. Okay, we've rambled on long enough, right. But the take-home message for today is be careful with how you select your nutritional coach. And they should be a coach. They should be able to when you have a hiccup or a slip-up, they should be able to ease you back on the path and have you being consistent. Master the level one stuff first in terms of nutrition. Get your basic meal plan down. Find what works for you and just live there for a while. Don't go straight to the level two and the level three cut. Again, this is a crazy theme that we've been working on. If you just lived at level one consistently and just ate a really healthy, balanced diet consistently, you'd probably be happy with your body. Okay. All right. Thank you again to Athlete Performance Solutions and Killcliffe, keeping us fueled up. Right, we are going to shoot a performance enhancing drug podcast on Tuesday. Should be out Wednesday. Peds. Talking about peds. It will not be a how-to. So, but just kind of some of the big things that are going on. And actually, we'll have two podcasts that come out next week.
Should we do it like? We'll like go low carb for about 10 days before, starting now. Let's wear mock turtlenecks and black rim glasses.
Let's do it.
And that'll be fitting for the next podcast.
That'll be perfect. All right, guys, we'll see you next time.
See ya.